Yankees doing a great
Sportscast
job.
August 3rd, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating on and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, all the news, all the podcasts, all the information you need to know about us, the Sportscast, the premier sports network. The three-time All-Star, NBA All-Star Draymond Green has agreed to a four-year, $100 million maximum contract extension with Golden State, according to agent Rich Paul of Klutsch. Tells Woj, per Woj, Green extends his extension will pay him $22.2 million, $24 million, $25.8 million, and $27.6 million over the course of the deal. The Warriors will have $129 million and $138 million committed to the four max players, Curry, Thompson, Green, and Russell, in the 2020, 21, and 21-22 seasons, respectively. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about this in baseball, Mr. Kyle Borden, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you.
Kyle Borden, of course, the NBA free agency has been happening this past couple of weeks. Big names getting traded, big names getting signed. But this Draymond Green signing, how significant is this?
I think it's huge for the Warriors, where Klay Thompson is obviously going to be out for a while. I think it's huge. You're just going to have Curry. And you're just going to have Curry and Draymond Green. So I think it's very huge for them. He's a three-time champion. He's one of the better defensive players in the game. So I think it's huge for them. They need someone to help Steph Curry out in the pick and roll to take some responsibilities off Steph Curry. He's still going to have a huge workload, but they need another ball handler. They obviously brought in D'Angelo Russell to help with that. So I think it's huge for Golden State. He was obviously one of the instrumental pieces in bringing on Kevin Durant. But I think it's really huge for them.
Now, of course, Draymond Green is a big, significant part of the Golden State Warriors championships these past couple of years. Obviously, they lost Iggy. And how significant is that without him?
I think it's a huge loss for them because without him, Golden State's not going to be able to play five small. I think that's a huge loss for them. They obviously lost DeMarcus. They have Jordan Bell back. They have some pieces back. So I think it's obviously going to be a huge loss. That's another veteran right there. He can defend. He could switch on the bigger defenders. I think he can secondary create for himself. And also, he's a good spot-up shooter. So I think that's obviously a huge loss for them. Obviously, they wanted to cut ties with them. They're moving into the new arena this year. So I think that's going to be an underrated loss for them. They don't have as much depth as they did, 2 years ago. And I think, obviously, we saw that against Toronto. They didn't have a lot of depth.
What role will D'Angelo Russell play for the Warriors?
I think he's going to be huge. He's going to take some of the scoring load off Steph Curry. He's still going to have to score a lot. He's going to have a big year this year. He's always good. I think he's going to have like the MVP year this year. So I think that D'Angelo Russell is going to be able to help them space the floor. He can create his own offense. I think he's going to obviously guard some of the bigger twos. I think because Steph Curry's not going to be able to guard some of the bigger twos. So I think look for D'Angelo Russell to also take on that assignment like Klay Thompson did for Steph. So I think that's going to be huge. I think the secondary ball – creators. He's also younger, so I think you're getting a lot younger. And I also think that they needed somebody to pull with Steph Curry because, if D'Angelo Russell wasn't there, it would just be, Steph and Draymond. So I think that's important to have another playmaker that can do some things.
Now, from what are your projections for the Warriors to finish off? What seed number?
I think, as it stands right now, I think fifth or sixth seed. Depends when Klay Thompson gets back. Obviously, they think fifth or sixth seed. I obviously think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think Steph Curry and them is good enough to make the playoffs. I think around five or six is good because you got to remember the West is loaded. You got Utah, you got Denver, you got the Clippers, you got the Lakers, you got Portland. I mean, the West is loaded. So I think five or six is a reasonable expectation as it stands right now.
Now, obviously with the fifth, sixth seed, how deep can the Warriors go in the playoffs?
I think depending on the matchup, I think the Warriors can win a round or two. But again, it's going to be tough. I think if they do win a round or two, I think it's going to be six or seven games. I don't think Golden State's going to be winning in four or five game series anymore. I think it's going to be six or seven games if they ever win a round. I think it's all going to depend on matchup base. And I think definitely think it's going to take six or seven games for them to even get out of the first round because the West is loaded. It's loaded, top to bottom.
Yeah. Would you see a scenario that they can make it to the Western Conference Finals?
I think it's going to depend on the matchup. I think that's all going to be matchup. It depends who they play. If they get a better matchups. They play Portland. I think it's going to depend on the matchup, but it's possible. I don't see them going to the finals again, so I'm going to get that out of the way. I mean, it could happen, but I don't see it happening. But I think it's going to all of a sudden depend on the matchup, because we all know the Western Conference is separated by 3 games. So I think a lot of it's going to depend on the matchups. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George with the labrum. I think a lot of LeBron, the workload management, Anthony Davis, the younger teams in Utah. Do Utah and does Denver take a step back? Do they take a step forward? Portland's going to be good. The Rockets are going to be good in the regular season. So I think it's going to be competitive as hell this year.
Yeah, it's going to be one heck of a Western Conference. Eastern Conference will be competitive as well. Another thing that we did not discuss in the sportscast yet was Russell Westbrook going to Houston Rockets. Are the Rockets a better team, slightly better, or the same?
It's tough because it's twofold. I think obviously Harden and Russell Westbrook is one of the highest usage players in the game. I think defensively they're a lot worse. I think Chris Paul is getting a bad rap. I do think that he's hamstring prone, but at his size, there's only so much he can do. I think defensively they got a lot worse. I think it's going to take a lot of sacrifice between Russ and Harden. I also think Mike D'Antoni's in the final year of his contract. Can he adapt? He hasn't shown the ability to adapt. I didn't understand the move for one reason. Russell Westbrook can't shoot threes. That's what Mike D'Antoni wants you to do. And it's not like he's one of those coaches that's going to evolve into shooting. So that he's going to help them in terms of playmaking, giving Harden another thing. If Harden's willing to sacrifice and play off the ball a little bit, which he hasn't shown the ability to do so. I think defensively, they've got a lot worse. I think in certain areas, offensively, they're going to be better, but shooting, they're going to be worse. I think the floor is going to be spread a little more in Houston. But I don't really understand the move.
Now, if the Rockets had a different coach than D'Antoni and that could coach like whatever this players, these group of players, do you think that would be better?
I think Russell Westbrook is younger. He's more athletic, but I also don't know how he's going to age. I think Chris Paul is shorter. So, like, you know, there's so much. I think Russell Westbrook is going to play hard, and I commend him for that. But he has a lot of deficiencies. I think the ball with Harden and Russ, I don't know how that's going to work. And I think for that, it's going to take a lot of sacrifice between both of them, which I hate to say, but it's going to be good in the regular season. But in the playoffs, I just don't see it because both of them don't defend. And they're not willing at this stage in their career to, I don't think they would be willing at this stage of their career to necessarily sacrifice one another.
What seed do you see them being finished at by next year?
I think they're going to be great in the regular season. I think they could be a top 4 seed, but I think it also has a lot of compass with a coach going to his final year. We all know in sports, a coach going in the final year, and you're on a 4-game losing streak, and it's tough. Like the Rockets started last year, a coach going in his final year. I think an underrated move was Daryl Morey got rid of some of his assistants. They couldn't reach a deal, and Harden and they both have a lot to prove. Russell Westbrook, you lose back to back in the first round. Paul George just left you. He chose the Clippers over you. You know, so I think both of them is going to have a lot to prove coming up this year. But I see them, they can be a top 4 seed. They're going to be very interesting in the West. And they could win a round or two, but I just don't see them taking that next step over even a team like, definitely not the Clippers or Lakers. But, I mean, Denver's going to be tough. I guess that Utah's going to be tough. Portland made it to Western Conference Finals last year. I mean, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, Western Conference is going to be one heck of a draw. Who are your top 2 teams right now in the West?
Obviously, I think the Lakers, the Clippers are going to be top 2. I also think Denver is going to be up there. Obviously, you got Michael Porter come back next year. Hopefully, he can come healthy. I think Utah's going to be up there. Definitely, the Blazers could definitely be up there. So those 4 or 5 teams, I definitely think could be in the hunt. Because the reason why 4 or 5 teams, because the Clippers, who knows, Kawhi with the workload management, you know, that's going to be a factor. LeBron's, you know, even though, you know, LeBron's as great he is, he's still 35. I still think he has another 4 or 5 good years left, but so that's going to be a factor. I think can Denver take that next step? Also, Utah got Mike Conley. They're going to be in a conversation. I think those are all teams that could, you know, be in that area.
At this moment, can you agree with this statement? Are the Clippers the best team in the NBA right now?
The best team in the NBA, they got to play some games. I think Milwaukee's up there, but I also think right now they are the best team because LeBron's going to take some game workload management. And I also think that they have more depth than the Lakers. Even though the Lakers have more talented guys, you got to give the Clippers credit. As though I'm a Lakers fan, you got to give the Clippers credit. They won 48 games last year. And let's face it, they have more continuity than the Lakers right now. So, yes, you can say that.
The Cleveland general manager, the Cleveland Cavaliers, spoke this past week about LeBron James, and he was saying that it was, you know, very difficult to build around him. But he thought, but like he also believes that LeBron's checked out. He's no longer looking for another championship. He's more concerned of his off-court businesses. Would you agree with that statement?
I think LeBron's going to have a lot. I think all players are concerned about their thing. I don't really buy into it. I think you can do both. I think it's a day and age of 2019. Like, you can do both. You can play basketball. You can also start your own company. So I'm young. I think that you can do both. I don't have a problem with the comments. I think, look, it's hard being a general manager of LeBron. Regardless, he's the chosen one. So regardless, he was on Sports Illustrated when he was 16. So I think regardless of the matter, LeBron's going to get the credit. You're going to get the thing. And it's not a fault of LeBron. It's just his status in the league is so high. It's so high in sports. He stands for so much from a sports standpoint, what he does for children. I think it wasn't a knock to LeBron. I think it's, you know, I think LeBron does so much. So I think that I don't think he's checked out of basketball. I think he can do both. I think players do all the time. Tom Brady does both. A lot of players do both. So I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I was really curious about, the article I was reading. I think it was from the LA Times. And it, I don't know, I feel like maybe winning that championship in Cleveland was like the hardest thing he could have done, and he done it. And maybe after that, it just becomes, everything becomes like secondary. He's done what he has to do.
I disagree. I think LeBron obviously winning that championship was very important to him. He grew up in Cleveland. I don't think he's checked out. I just think that, you know, at this stage in his life, like, I think when you accomplish what he's done in, you know, when you accomplish what he's done in 15, 16 years in the league, I think he owes it to himself and his family to, you know, raise his kids wherever he wants. He wants to live in L.A. He wants to enjoy the weather. Obviously, you know, living in Cleveland, the weather's bad. So I think, obviously, all that's a factor. He wanted his kids to go to a better high school. I don't think he's checked out of the Lakers. I still think he wants to win. He obviously wanted to win last year because, I mean, people were telling him to shut it down with a groin injury, and obviously he still wanted to win even when the team wasn't in the plus. I think that's not true by Dave Griffin. I still think he wants to win because he would have not played the meaningless games left if he wasn't concerned about winning. I think, obviously, is his single goal all winning all the time? No, but I still think that he wants to win. If he didn't want to win, he would not have got his Anthony Davis. So I think that he still wants to win. I think he obviously has more on his plate now. He's watching his children in high school games, AAU. He's enjoying the weather. He's investing a lot of stuff. So I think he still wants to win, and I think he hears all this, and I think that's going to fuel them next year, and he's going to prove everybody wrong.
Fear for the fire. How do you view the Lakers front office? How did they think they behaved this past summer with the whole Magic Johnson and everything? Do you think they're a little bit more settled, or do you think there's still a little bit of some bumpy times ahead?
I think it's getting better. I obviously like what they did with DeMarcus. I was worried but that they might overpay those two. But I think that Rob Pelinka did a good job. They obviously made less news, less, you know, drama-filled news, which is always good for the Lakers. There's always a lot of drama around the team. I think Frank Vogel, you know, sometimes being quiet took the best way for them. I don't think it's completely perfect, but I think they're getting better. They're smoothing out some of the rough patches. It's not going to be perfect for Magic Johnson, but I still think he's the L.A. ambassador for sports. And that was obviously a bad way to leave. I still don't forgive him for that, but I think that they're moving forward. I don't think, you know, they're completely going to forget about what happened because you can't forget about that. But I think slowly but surely they're moving it past them and only winning and next year making the playoffs for the first time in 6 years, you can, you know, put some of those things behind you. And, you know, if you have a good run in the playoffs and they win a championship, you could put some of that chatter behind you. You won't forget about it because you don't forget about things, but you can put some of those things behind you as you start winning some more games.
Are you, and did Kawhi ever – Like, would you think like the Lakers ever had a chance to get Kawhi?
Doesn't seem like they had a chance. I know I was very happy for a second when I said the last episode with you on the sportscast that we didn't have a chance to get Kawhi. But I don't know because it's tough to really read Kawhi. I don't think the Lakers really made it seem like they had a chance. I obviously thought we had a chance. Didn't seem like we had much of a chance. I think they were just waiting for Paul George. So it didn't really seem like we had much of a chance because there was concerns over. He didn't want to build a super team, but, you know, it doesn't seem like we have much of a chance, even though, as much as I wanted us to have much of a chance.
Yeah, and, you know, looking back, I just, you know, now seeing everything being settled and everything, him going to the Clippers, I would have not have thought he would have worked it out well with LeBron in the same team.
I disagree. I think there's certain elements that obviously he was a number one option in Toronto. I think Kawhi can work well with anybody. He just wants to play basketball. So I think a type of guy like that can figure out anywhere. I think some of the drama stuff off the court, he would have not had, you know, too pleasant about that. I don't think he would have got really upset because he's not a conversion. But I think some of the drama stuff he wouldn't have liked. But, you know, on the court, I don't think he would have had a problem playing off the ball with LeBron. I think it would have worked. LeBron's defense. Sometimes LeBron doesn't like to play defense at certain points in the game. So I think having Kawhi there would have been great. When LeBron comes off the court, his teams always struggle. So you would still have Kawhi and AD. So I think it would have worked from a drama standpoint. It would have not been still great. But on the court, I think it would have been fine.
Now, what are the chances for Kawhi to win championships with three teams?
I think it's very high. You got Paul George there. You got Montrezl there. You got Lou Williams. You got Doc Rivers coaching your basketball team. Won a championship with the Boston Celtics in 2008. You got Lawrence Frank in the front office. You got Steve Ballmer, owner willing to spend money. You got a team there. You got Zubac there. I mean, he's a young center. You got Landry Shamet who can really shoot. I mean, they have a really good shot to win. I mean, it's going to be competitive. You got Milwaukee in the East. You got those teams that I mentioned 10 minutes ago in the West. I think they have a very good shot to win.
But do they have a good shot for this upcoming season?
Yeah, definitely.
That's something to look at. I am really surprised and shocked how good Kawhi was. Yes, he was good with the Spurs, but coming to Toronto, winning the championship, and, I mean, he has to be easily in, like, the top three best players in the world right now.
For sure, definitely, no doubt.
Maybe, I don't know about LeBron. LeBron's still the best player. Obviously, KD's injured, but I'll put Kawhi as number two.
For sure, definitely. You have to do it. I mean, he just won the finals MVP.
And in the East, you would say Milwaukee has a guaranteed number one seed.
Yes, definitely. I think Milwaukee come back this year. They obviously lost Malcolm Brogdon to the Pacers, but I still think they're great. They was obviously able to re-sign Chris Middleton, which I was very concerned that they wouldn't. Brooke Lopez is back. Even though Miritich went over to play in Europe, you still have a great team there in Milwaukee. Coach Bud is there. Hopefully Giannis has improved that jumper. He keeps taking that next step so that we can see him in the playoffs. I think Milwaukee as a number one seed is a lock. It's a sure bet in the league. I think it's going to happen. As long as Giannis stays healthy, fingers crossed for that. We don't want him to get hurt. But I think it's a lock. At least in the regular season, I think they're a lock to be a number one seed. Yes.
You think Milwaukee needs a number two star?
No, I think they have a Chris Middleton who's a nice all-star, but it's tough to really get a superstar to come to Milwaukee. I just think that, but I think it's going to be good for the regular season. And I think even though they don't have that second, like, you know, superstar, Chris Middleton is a good player, but he's not a superstar. I think they still are going to be a number one seed. I still think even if Giannis improves a little bit, you know, not even a three-pointer just yet, and maybe a 15-footer keep the defense honest in some of those games against the Raptors, even against a player like Kawhi, he's a great defender. But even having a 15-footer for Giannis would open up a lot more for the rest of the team. So I think if he even, you know, 15-footer, 10-footer, you know, here and there, keep the defense honest at least, that would definitely help them in the playoffs. Because I think in the regular season, he can get by with, you know, transition and this and that. But I think definitely if he wants to take that next step, 10, 15-footer, keep practicing like Tim Duncan, he'll get there.
Will Chris Paul stay with OKC or go to a team like the Miami Heat?
I think Chris Paul is going to get brought out. I think by December 15, which is the deadline for players to get brought out, I think he'll get brought out. There's no reason for a team like OKC to keep Chris Paul because, look, you're rebuilding. I mean, you traded Westbrook for Chris Paul, so you're rebuilding. It's time to start fresh. You got Shea Gilgeous Alexander there. Hopefully, Danilo Gallinari finally stays healthy this year. You got some young players. You want to keep Shea there and start his growth. Like Chris Paul is going to be on the ball. You need Shea to take that next step. Obviously, you're in a rebuild now. So there's no reason for you to keep, you know, Chris Paul there in Oklahoma City.
You think Chris Paul still has a lot more left to contribute for a championship?
I think Chris Paul, you know, obviously I stay healthy. I think Chris Paul has a little bit left. I don't think he has a lot left. But I still think that he can be a starter in this league and still average 15 points and 8 assists. I think he's going to – I still don't think he's going to play as many games. I think you're going to have to watch out for his games load just so that he can stay healthy. But I still think that Chris Paul can, you know, score some points in the right system. Obviously, it's got to be the right system for him at this point in his career.
Yeah, that's something to really look at. I think Chris Paul could bring that veteran leadership. Maybe, counsel or, you know, try to bring that experience to a young point guard somewhere, maybe Milwaukee, or maybe go to the Heat and, you know, maybe, you know, try to help out Hero there, or maybe even R.J. Barrett at the Knicks.
Yeah, definitely.
By the way, R.J. Barrett had a great summer league performance.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised because I think R.J. Barrett, it obviously takes you a couple games. People underrate this, but he hasn't played a game in 3 months. I mean, summer league, like, you don't play a game, an actual game on a basketball court for 3 months. So I think a lot of it in the first couple games of summer league was just getting used to the NBA. And another part of it, he hasn't played. Even though you've been scrimmaging in the gym, practicing with your friends, you haven't been on the court for 3 months. So obviously he played a lot better in the last couple games because you're just getting the flow, getting used to like a little bit of the NBA summer players. So I think that helps. And obviously not playing basketball in 3 months on a court like of that magnitude in front of teams is obviously, you know.
Will R.J. Barrett become a New York Knicks legend?
I don't know. It's tough to say. I don't know if he'll become a legend. I want to slow down. I like R.J. a lot because obviously I'm very familiar with Duke. And I watched him like every game, and I watched him in high school at Montevideo Academy when he was with Ben Simmons. So I'm obviously a huge fan of him. I wouldn't say a legend yet. I would think he's going to be a good player for the Knicks. I think he can play. I think he can do some things for the Knicks. He's going to bring some skill for them. But I would hold the role on being a legend just yet.
We just saw him in the summer league, so we don't know what's going to happen. NBA is different back-to-back, which, by the way, I was watching an interview with Kevin Love, and he was saying, yeah, going from college to the NBA is completely different because in college you play like two games a week. In the NBA, you play like four or five games a week. So the level of intensity goes up like night and day.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Kevin Love. Like, there's a huge difference from playing 2 days a week to playing 34 games to go and play 41 at home and 41 on the road. It's a huge difference.
Yeah, big difference. Obviously, we got Tyler Hero at the Heat. Heard some good references with him. Obviously, these teams are all in rebuilding mode, and we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. Zion Williamson signs with Air Jordan. What are your thoughts?
I think it's great for Zion. He could have got $18 million with, a shoe company in Chinese or something. But very good for Zion. He brings a lot of joy to the game, a lot of love for the game. I think he's a natural leader. I think in New Orleans, it's going to be great. He's got a better core than Anthony Davis ever had, so he should be proud of David Griffin and his work. I think he's going to be great. I think that Zion's going to be phenomenal. I think I already have him as one of the appreciated players for Rookie of the Year. Of course, there's no sleeper there. So I think he's going to be great. I was very proud that he was able to get that deal. He's, going to be great. So I was very proud that he was able to get that deal for himself and his family and what he stands for.
You think he'll be having issues with like injuries in the future?
I think, obviously, he has a lot of body fat, so I think that he has some fat, and I think he's going to have to do something on his knees. He has a lot of, like, trunk there and things. So I think he's going to have to do something. But I think in the NBA, like, when you get in the NBA, like, a nutritional, you have a chef. So if you take those things, you take the advice that the coaches give you. You take the advice that the coaches give you and stuff. Like, in your first year, you grow through the growing pains. Obviously, you're going to want to eat. You're still going to be tempted to eat some of the foods you did as a kid. But, like, as he gets, like, more accustomed to the league, if you, like, you want to be in the league 15 years to 17 years, why don't you just take the advice to heart? You get in the gym. You work. You eat the things that they tell you to eat. And sometimes you can still have the other stuff in portions. And I think he's, can still, be healthy. And I think he can still play a lot of games at a high level.
Now,
and be that player that they drafted at number one, yeah.
Keep in mind, this Pelican squad is not that – I mean, they have some experience. They got Lonzo Ball and some other players, but it's – what seed do you think the Pelicans can finish off by next year?
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs because, first of all, Lonzo Ball still can't shoot. Even though you have those young players, you're in the Western Conference. I mean, if they were in the East, I would be a lot more high on them. Actually, if they were in the East,
yeah,
I'd be way more higher because – teams in the East, we got five teams, and if you look 6-8, you could get in the playoffs in the East. We all know that. So I think in the West, it's going to be tough, obviously, to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're too young. As good as Zion is, I mean, he's coming in the league. I mean, this isn't college basketball.
So we're looking at like a 10th seed, do you think?
I think they'll hover around 10, but I think they'll finish around 11 or 12 because I think they'll lose some games that maybe they should win. Just because they're young, I think Lonzo Ball's still great, but he's still in his first couple years in the league. He still has injury risks. I think Brandon Ingram still has a jump shot concern. So I think, and
how about J.J. Redick's veteran experience coming in?
And I think he's good, but he's a role player. You guys still factor in he's a role player. I think he's still going to help. I think he's going to be great as a mentor for them. But I still think they're incredibly young at their key spots. J.J. Redick's going to be a nice player for them, but he's still a role player. The corner players like Zion is still young, so I don't think they're going to make the plus. But I think after this year, maybe next, the following, after this year, maybe like 2 years, they can make the plus. You're talking about Lonzo, if they're able to re-sign Brandon Ingram after his rookie contract, he's going to be a restricted free agent. You're talking about guys being 2-3 years in the league and young. I think after that, that's their window.
Don't forget about Drew Holiday.
And Drew Holiday is great, a great defensive player. So I think that's great for them.
Who would you start, Ball or Drew Holiday?
No, I would definitely start Drew Holiday, but I would definitely start Drew Holiday. I think Drew Holiday is earning the right to start. I mean, he's been in the league for a while. I think he's earning the right to start. So I would definitely start Drew Holiday.
Can they start both, or that's kind of not the right chemistry to do that?
You can start both. You can start both. I think you bring up a very great point. You can start both because, remember, Drew Holiday is a great offensive player and he's a great defensive player. And having Drew Holiday and Lonzo Ball in the backcourt together, that's a pretty good defensive team right there. I think, and you have Zion who's going to hustle on defense. You had a young player in Jackson Hayes. So I think you can actually start both. You might be able to get away with starting both because where Lonzo is deficient and on offense, Drew Holiday is good on offense. So, and yeah, they're both good defensive players. And they're tall enough. Lonzo Ball is a legit 6'6". And he might be like 6'4", when they take off your shoes. So I think that you can start both.
Yeah, and to be honest, if the Spurs was not in the West, I think the Pelicans might move towards that 9th-8th seed.
For sure, definitely. I definitely agree with you. And if they went East, I would be taking them as a 60.
Easily, yeah, exactly. I wish they can. I mean, they're kind of very borderline in a way. They could go to the East in a way.
Facts. Yeah, they definitely could go to the East.
Also, Milwaukee, they could go to the West as well.
Definitely, they can be in the West right now. But we don't need more teams in the West. Yeah. We're trying to keep the teams in the East.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, we'll see what happens with the New Orleans Pelicans. I like this team of the future. I do agree with you, it might be 2 years, but to be honest, I would not be surprised if they make it to the 8th seed like last minute. That's like the best, you know, case scenario.
Yeah, I think in that situation, if they make it an 8th seed, I mean, you're talking about Zion runaway rookie of the year. I mean, you talk about Luka. He's going to be winning the rookie of the year like Luka.
Should be exciting time. And, of course, you got the Spurs. Spurs still a big force in the West, but not as dominant. We're going to definitely be looking at the L.A., L.A. center of basketball. And to be honest, we could see an L.A. Western Conference final.
That would be great for the league. I mean, you're talking about people from ESPN and Fox from a journalist standpoint, from a viewing standpoint. In the same building, playing an NBA Western Conference Finals. Excuse me, that would be great for the league.
No travel.
About being easy. Yeah, no travel. Yes, that's awesome.
Which I did hear that the Clippers are planning to build their own stadium.
Yeah, I thought that would be great for the Clippers. I heard the same thing too. I wanted to bring it up at the end. The Clippers are getting a new arena. I think it's going to be great. It's going to be a while because they still haven't broke ground on the site yet. But I think that'd be great for the Clippers, actually. I mean, you talk about getting Kawhi and Paul George, you get your own arena, your own practice facility, and then you have, stuff around it. I think that'd be great, sir.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm really interested with, the whole ticket sales and who will get more, the Clippers or the Lakers. Probably be evened out by the end of the day. Let's move to Major League Baseball. We were talking about, the Yankees making some trades. Give us a brief summary of what happened.
I think that the Braves did a good job picking up Shane Green. I think it was a lot of moves. Obviously, Zach Greinke was a big add. Nick Castellanos went to the Cubs. I think there was a lot of great action around baseball. I was disappointed in my Yankees because I felt like we should have picked up a starter. The action price was obviously a lot high. But I think going into that series after Boston, I was just really depressed. The first three games, we just got our ass beat. There was a couple stretches for us right before we had been playing well of late. We obviously had a situation where we had the worst starting rotation in baseball. We had question marks with J-Hap. Can J-Hap even keep the ball in the ballpark? Paxton shrugs in the first inning. Sabathia, pitches 8 out of 10. His knee's always hurting him, which is expected. It's not his fault at this late in his career. Tanaka struggles sometimes. Herman is on the innings limit. So long story short, I was really disappointed in the Yankees. The price was obviously a lot high, but I still think we needed to make the move. But I understand Cashman. Obviously, Severino might be back, but that's still a question mark. Like, he hasn't thrown a pitch this year. That's still a question mark. We still have a lot of guys that could potentially come back, but I still think I'm a little bit concerned about rotation. Considering we're going against an Astros team that have three number ones on their staff. I mean, they have an embarrassment of riches. You got Verlander, you got Gerrit Cole, and you got Zach Greinke. It's like, it's going to be a lot for us.
Would you say at this moment Yankees are tracked on going to the World Series this year?
I think we're definitely in a hunt, but I would never count out Houston because Houston's always going to be there. Although I always favor my Yankees, but it's really close between the Yankees and Houston. They have a really good offense. They play well on the road. They play well at home. They have three number one starters that can start on any team. Gerrit Cole can obviously start on any team. He's been hot of late. You have Zach Greinke, who faced us. He was really tough against us. You have Justin Verlander. We've seen what Justin Verlander has done in this league. I think it's going to be very tough. They have a good offense. They have a good bullpen. They also made some additions to their bullpen. The Yankees, we still have a chance to come back next year. Tanaka does pitch well in the playoffs, so that gives me some confidence. We have a great bullpen. Oh, and we'll just have to find creative ways to get 27 out without that sure bet three number one starters like the Astros.
What were your thoughts?
I'm still confident that we're not.
Go ahead. What were your thoughts of the Yankees and the Red Sox series that happened this past week?
Oh, obviously great. Obviously, we won yesterday 4-2. We got a great start for James Paxton. Hopefully, he can build on that. He threw less four-seam fastballs and more cutters and changeups. So I think that kind of mix up, using more pitches, using more of his arsenal, you know, just varying the looks will obviously help. Of course, he's going to have to build on this one start. It's never one start, but hopefully he can build on this going forward. And obviously, right now, we're up 8-2. We knocked the Sox off Chris Sale. We scored seven runs off Chris Sale, so that's obviously really good.
For the National League, who are your top two favorites?
In the National League?
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to go with the Dodgers. The Dodgers are having a really good season. The improvement of Cody Bellinger. They have a lot of depth. They just called up Dustin May. He's a really good kid. One of their best pitching prospects in the whole baseball. I think they're really good. Cody Bellinger. You have Jock Peterson. You have Max Muncy. You have a ton of players. So I think, you know, the Dodgers are obviously going to be there. I still think the Dodgers are going to be there. The Braves are a really good team. They got Shane Green. There's still question marks about their third starter. You have Mike Soroka at the top of your rotation. You have Dallas Keuchel. You have Ozzie Albies. You have Ronald Acuna ever since they moved him to the leadoff spot. He's great. And you still have the Cubs in the Central. So, I mean, just the National League is loaded. But I would go Dodgers, Cubs, Braves.
Now, obviously, is August like the most vital month for Major League Baseball, or is it September?
I think August is a long haul. I think August is where you do see a lot of four-game, five-game. It's because the season is very long, and I think in August is like the dog days of August because in September you actually get to call up your 40-man. So in baseball, you're always carrying your 25-man. So in August, you get the extra boost of having an extra 15 guys. Which does slow down games at times if a non-playoff team is all of a sudden just bringing in dudes and the team's in the hunt and they're trying to win a game. You have these extra players, extra quartet of players coming in. But I think it's great. I think September is more – I think August is more a great – you want to get through it. And then September is where you start to see that postseason life, that October baseball, you start to see it. So I think September is –
This is tense. Awesome. Very much. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Major League Baseball is definitely coming towards the close of this season. And, of course, we're going to fade into football as well. You know, it's funny about, like, this whole trade deadline. I was watching this special, which I'm not sure if you watched it, with Deion Sanders, where he had 1 year where he played for baseball and football. And, yeah, there was – I mean, he usually stops playing baseball by July. And then, no, he kept going because the team was doing so well. But, yeah, this is baseball definitely gets excited around this time.
Definitely.
Awesome. Anything else before we head into predictions?
No.
Okay, let's go for Miami at Tampa tonight.
Tampa definitely wins. Tampa still needs to stay in the wild card hunt. I think Tampa's going to win this game. Miami obviously has been pitching well this season. They've been winning a couple games recently, but I think Tampa needs to keep winning games because you want to stay in the wildcard hunt. Wait, you're not going to catch the Yankees, so you want to stay in the wildcard hunt.
The Sox at the Phillies.
The White Sox at the Phillies, they're coming off a tough, you know, 15-inning game. I think the Phillies, you know, try to win this game.
Mets at Pittsburgh.
The Mets were on a 7-game win streak. It got ended last night. I think the White Sox keep it going.
Toronto at Baltimore.
Toronto wins, no doubt. I have extreme confidence in Toronto. Vladimir Guerrero is playing well. He just called up Kimbrel Bichette, one of their top prospects in the organization. So I think Toronto can win this game, and I'm actually going to go a score prediction here. I think it's going to go 8-2.
That's a good score. Okay, so I'm seeing the Yankees are playing right now 9-2. They're winning against Boston. But I also see a scheduled game tonight, Boston and New York at 7. Is that correct, what I'm seeing?
Yes, it is correct. The Yankees are actually making up this game from May 30th. Okay. And the game later today is actually a scheduled 7:05 game, which would have been – it was supposed to be a 3-game set. But this first game is from May 30th, yes.
Wow, I had no idea that they could play 2 games in one day.
Yeah, Major League Baseball is a rare sport where you could actually play 2 games in one day. So normally – normally, since this is a 105-705, normally what will happen is that you could play – Major League Baseball has two, I think it's two, where you could play 105 or and then after that, immediately after the game, you could play 30 minutes at the end of that one, or it could be the 105. That's called the straight doubleheader. They call it the straight doubleheader. Or you can play like how we play in the 105-405. You get a three-hour break, 2.5, let's say, after the media, and then you get to play later at 7:05. So, yeah.
Quite incredible. I mean, baseball is definitely, you know, one of those sports that's kind of distinct. You could play 2 games in one day. And some of these games could be played on a work day on the afternoon, right?
Yeah, I hate that. Major League Baseball tells that I absolutely hate it. But lucky for me, I always DVR the game when I know it's like it's later and I can't watch it, obviously. But I hate that. I can't stand it. Especially when you're at school or when you're like saying, and you can't, like, watch it as you normally watch it with, like, the enjoyment. But, like, I find a way to watch it.
One, like, the big perks about baseball, and some people are doing that they're seeing, like, they prefer to see the stats rather than the game itself. Like, they go on their iPad, and they just love seeing the stats.
Yeah, I love that. I actually watch the games, and now also, like, obviously, like I like some of the analytics. I don't like all of it, but, like, I'm obviously very data-driven and analytics-driven, so I think it's great. I think it's great. You always have more information. I think it's always better to have more information. Not just sports, but like I think it's always great to have more information, especially on sports, which we really love. So I think it's really great.
Yeah, baseball is a game of stats, definitely. And I was actually reading, this is another broadcasting news thing, is that Bob Costas will be broadcasting on the YES Network, which I think is a New York network. I think the Yankees and the Red Sox game. So I think you're going to hear him. If you know Bob Costas.
Yes, I definitely know Bob Costas. Actually, I'm watching it right now on the YES Network. I think he's great. He's tremendous. He's a tremendous national. I think Bob Costas is doing a great job. Obviously, today he's bringing a lot of excitement to the game. We also got David Cohn and Paul O'Neill, two former players calling us. I think Bob Costas is doing a great job, actually.
Yeah.
I think I'm very familiar with his work. I think he's a great, tremendous talent.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think he left the NBC or maybe still with them. I haven't seen him in a bit, but obviously these type of guys are ageless, like Tim Duncan. Which, by the way, Tim Duncan is going to be an assistant coach for the Spurs.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Actually, I forgot that was true. But, yeah, I think that's really good. You keep him in the game. Obviously, he's still got a lot to teach. Even though he's not playing no more, he can still teach the players like how to go about being in the NBA. I think it's great. I think it's tremendous for the Spurs. Maybe they're trying to groom him one day to be Greg Popovich's replacement. Who knows?
That could happen.
Always be in the calling cards. The Spurs love hiring. Yeah, the Spurs love, you know, bringing their former players back, giving them prominent roles. So who knows?
Who knows what happened? But good for Tim Duncan. Very good guy. A championship caliber player. And of course, he might teach Aldridge how to do the hack a shack correctly. So we'll see what happens in the games of the game of sport. Game of baseball, game of basketball, you name it. A lot of strategy, a lot of stats. And anyways, how can people reach you, Kailu?
They can reach me on Twitter at CailuBorden12, and you can also reach me on Instagram at CailuB123.
Can you tell us a little bit about your internship?
Oh, my internship, obviously, with JP Morgan, it's a 6-week internship. It's really good. I learned a lot about, like, what they do as a company. Obviously, they're one of the largest companies in the world. So, obviously, sitting on a lot of meetings. It's actually one of the most cool meetings I have. I was actually in a call in Brazil, in London and Mexico. So, it was really cool to get that exposure, learn, like, what they do. And, like, obviously, they invest in a lot of companies, small, big, hedge funds, private equity. So, I think it's really cool, and I'm learning a lot. And I hope to continue to enjoy my last 2 weeks and come back.
JP Morgan, great company. School starts after Labor Day, New York. That's the law.
Yes. Yes.
Your final year of high school, right? Coming up?
Yes. Yes.
That definitely is awesome. We'll keep you around for the sports cast throughout the year. Of course, you can cover football, right?
Yes, of course. Everything.
Everything. You are Sports Center, so of course I cannot question you of anything else. Anyways, you can check us out on the sportscast.net, also on Twitter, the sportscast1. We'll keep you up to date. College football's coming up. The college football prediction shows and coming up in 2-3 weeks. We'll keep you in stat with Justin and Tyler coming on board. We got Kailu covering Major League Baseball. We'll have him through the World Series. And of course, any NBA breaking news, anything could happen. Chris Paul is on the table, of course. Bradley Beal as well. I think he's still in question marks.
Yeah, I think Bradley Beal. I'm obviously going to be watching that. You have a new general manager. I was seeing it on a Woj podcast. You have a new general manager there, and John Wall's not going to be back for a while. So I would keep an eye on Bradley Beal being disgruntled, especially if it's really going to work. So that's in the Eastern Conference, they're 11-12. A lot of teams are going to start getting in play, even though you may not have as much money. You're going to try to, you know, make that off of Bradley Beal because he can play and he can help a lot of teams in the league. So definitely keep an eye on that.
The world of sports keeps going. NBA still keeps going. NFL still keep going. College football is going to happen. Drama. I mean, July is the toughest month of the year, but I'm glad it's over. August starts to get a little bit sizzling. Anyways, Kailu, I appreciate you coming on to the sportscast.
Thank you.